Radio 314 on the Red Ice Radio Network.
Happy Yule or Merry Christmas. I hope you're doing something special to celebrate the winter solstice on the 21st, like having a feast and a bonfire to celebrate the return of the sun. If you live in the north, you especially appreciate the return of longer daylight hours. Look out for my new video where I discuss the pre-Christian origins of Christmas, namely Yule, but I also discuss the truth about Kwanzaa and Hanukkah. Joining me today is Jamie Hanshaw, a second-generation conspiracy theorist. Growing up in the 80s and 90s, she was exposed very early to the growing world of truth seekers, alternative historians, Clinton scandals, FEMA activities, and witchcraft in Saturday morning cartoons. Being raised in the Christian church for 25 years and teaching Sunday school, she is knowledgeable of the Bible, the life of Jesus, Islam, Satanism, Mormonism, exorcism, and other isms. Further studies include the occult activities of secret societies, the Freemasons, magic and sorcery, and Kabbalistic rituals, also Hollywood trauma-based mind control. Jamie, with co-writer Freeman, is compiling all of this information into a fully illustrated, well-referenced compendium of the occult mind pattern programming of Hollywood and the mainstream media in their new book, Weird Stuff Operation, Culture Creation. If you don't know her other half, Freeman's work, definitely check out freemantv.com for a bunch of cool stuff, and where Jamie frequently can be heard on the Free Zone radio show. Jamie and I cover a lot of ground discussing everything from the occult and mind control aspects of white genocide to feminism and Allah. Hang on. Jamie, welcome to the show.
Hi, Lana. Thank you for having me.
Well, just to let everyone know, we've been friends for a while, long before we started talking about cultural Marxism or the war on whites. And we both come from a conspiracy background with interest in the occult and symbolism and other alt topics. But I haven't asked you, what caused you to start thinking and talking about cultural Marxism and the war on whites?
Yeah, good question. I guess I was thinking about this before, and the beginning of this new resurgence of racism for me, I feel like, started with when Obama got elected. And of course, Obama is not black. He's half black and half white. So if they're always ignoring that part of him, right, and saying he's the black president. And so when he came out running, it was almost like you couldn't be critical of him whatsoever because he was going to be the first black president. And if you had any problems with that, then, you know, you were going to be labeled a racist already. Mm-hmm. And when he got elected, you could see that the black community was just going crazy, and they sort of, you know, just pushed him through just on the platform alone that he was part black without, you know, studying his politics or his personality or his history or anything like that. He just had carte blanche to have all the support from the black community and also from popular culture, because we saw that Katy Perry was saying vote for Obama, Beyonce was saying vote for Obama, Jay-Z gave him fundraising dinners, and so they got the whole youth behind Obama. And I think this was kind of the beginning, like I said, of the resurgence of racism, because I thought that we were kind of done with this as a country. You know, long ago, I thought racism was something that old people just talked about up in their rocking chairs, like back in the day. I grew up in Southern California, so it was never even an issue to have all the different races around me. You know, we have Asians, we have blacks, we have Mexicans, we have Native Americans, we have whites, you know, it's everything there. And it was never a problem, I feel, until Obama came into office. But then, you know, you start to watch the news. And if you know what we know, you know that this is all social engineering and it's following a plan. And I just started to notice the division between black people and white people in the country. And it's really coming back hard now with all these like Black Lives Matter and anti-white sentiments. And we have to pay for reparations for slavery and all this crazy things that nobody born in our time has even had anything to do with.
Yeah. And, you know, it's one of those things that we've already been divided and it was okay. I don't know why we had to mess with it. People naturally are tribal. They like to be with their own. But now what I see happening is they're agitating a lot of these non-whites in school and entertainment and media. So now from a young age, they're being programmed with this anti-white rhetoric, and they're getting really worked up more than any other generation, I think, has been programmed. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, definitely. And it's so crazy when you start to watch because, so what really woke me up to this was, I guess, basically, Black people are allowed to say anything that they want to about white people, right? And it's okay. And they can call them goofy. They can call them, evil. They can call them racist. They can say whatever. And we went to this comedy show, Cat Williams, and I'm just sitting there thinking, like, if the roles were reversed, if this was a white comedian saying this about Black people, there would be riots. You know, that people would walk out and be offended and it'd be in the news the next day. But since there's a Black person saying about a white person, it's okay.
Yeah, you know, it's true what you say. I mean, I know we both like to analyze propaganda, and that's really what triggered me. It was seeing I was out of the country for a while and I came back and then just kept seeing all this constant anti-white bashing just everywhere, media, entertainment. I was like, what the hell has happened? Like someone just turned on a switch and it's just like on fire, you know? I never even thought about race until I started looking at these TV shows, analyzing what was going on. And then the same theme was like, whitey is evil, you know, constantly. And then it was like, wait a minute. I'm white. I'm not evil. What the hell is going on? So naturally, you want to respond to that. Of course, it's a natural thing to do. And then I came across these white genocide mantras. I think you guys have found. And then I was like, oh yeah, that's what diversity means. It means no white people, right?
Right.
Well, you and Freeman did a show with Henrik and broke the subject of white genocide and also the new Star Wars. And I heard him say it was the first time he was talking about it on the show, and your show is very popular. So have you received any backlash approaching these topics?
No, not really. I did receive one email saying that I don't understand what it's like to be oppressed and all this stuff. And so this topics kind of makes you think, well, okay, so I'm white, but I'm also this other things too, because we're all sort of a mix now. I mean, nobody's 100% really, unless you're living right in the country, like you're not 100% Black.
Especially in America.
Yeah. So we're all mixed, and you can't just say like this person is white because they have light skin. You know, there's also things that you identify with. I'm 1/8 Cherokee. So that is a interesting mix that I have to, you know, look into your heritage. And I think everyone should be able to be proud of their heritage. Even white people, you know, you can have Black pride, you can have Asian pride, you can have gay pride, you can have pride for anything except for being white. And then there's this whole movement of check your privilege.
Ugh, hate that.
Right? So just because you have light skin, the doors are opened for you in life. And that is just so not true, because we've been having these things like affirmative action and diversity and all these things for a long, long time. So it's not like it used to be, you know, in the colonial days when it was all white males in charge of everything. It's just not like that anymore.
Yeah. And even then they say, you know, no one goes to Asia and says, oh, there's so much Asian privilege here. Let's go to Mexico. All this Mexican privilege, because they built the damn society. They should be in all those positions of power. They built the government. They built the companies. So what? If I was in another country and it was like surrounded by Asians, I'd say, well, I need to just go do my own thing and not complain on the majority here. I mean, that's just childish.
Right. And I really think they're pushing this, you know, especially like in Sweden, and things that you guys have brought forward is like, you know, mixing the races, right? And it's a social engineering program. It's not having babies out of love because you are connected to somebody that happens to be Black and you happen to be white and you get married and have children out of love. It's really being driven hard for a purpose, I think. And, you know, you've brought forth the things like the Kalergi plan. Is that how? Wait.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Kuhnhof Kalergi, yes.
And then you have these speeches that these top Islamic imams are giving, saying we're going to fix the fertility rates in Europe and we're going to breed them out and then we'll own Europe. And this is something that's been going on for thousands of years. This isn't even just a recent thing, right? This has been the plan all along. And so just going from there, you have to look at it from a different perspective, that it's not people and grassroots movements that are wanting these things to happen. It's the elite. And that's who we really have to keep our eye on, instead of, you know, who's black and who's white and who's this or that. It's who is actually at the top of the pyramid running things from the top down.
Exactly. Who is pushing this rhetoric in the establishment? Because now you see, and we've been talking about New World Order. You guys have been talking about New World Order for a long time. Well, this is all part of it. Mm-hmm. They keep talking about one world, one people, one more no more national sovereignty. I mean, what does that sound like? That is the
religion.
New World Order.
Exactly. You're so right. But you can't talk about these things without ignorant people saying that, you know, they just have these trigger issues. And if you trigger them, then they have these set responses that have been given to them by these social justice warriors.
It's like, and I know you've studied mind control, it's like watching a mind control program kick in. It's like, you know, the establishment is doing a big mind control operation, trying to push this white guilt and trying to get whites to be self-hating. You know, they hear it in school, church, work, news, entertainment. It mm-hmm. seems like it's a form of mind control, because when I talk to some of these social justice warriors, it's almost like you're not reaching them. There's like something else spooky that you're talking to. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a program that you have to deconstruct. And if, you know, they'll let you and be open to your information, but a lot of times they just won't. And then it goes even farther than that. Like, you go on Twitter and you see some of these tweets, and it's like, it's not rape if it's a white woman.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
You know, you need to impregnate them, to show them, and to, you know, like we said, mix the races and create something that has no nationality.
Yeah, that's the opposite of diversity, isn't it?
It's true, yeah.
Well, you often speak about occult and symbolism and that which is hidden in propaganda, although nowadays I'd say some of these things are becoming pretty fairly blatant. But wouldn't you say that accusing all whites of white privilege or telling them they're guilty has kind of an occult sort of magic trick to it? It's as though the in-the-know elites want to speak something into existence, or they want to crush your spirit. What do you think?
Oh, definitely. And I mentioned this in one of my books. It's about slavery. So this is a topic that they're always going to bring up against white people, is slavery. And I'll talk about slavery all day long, because this is the hidden undercurrent of the entire human race since the beginning of time, is being enslaved by other people and by entities, by occult forces, by priesthoods and mystery schools and things like that. But there was this story about a man named Willie Lynch, who was like the greatest slave owner in the West Indies. And they brought him over to help teach the colonial slavers in America how to subdue their slaves. And he had all of these points written out, that this is how you get people to be docile. And the first is, you have to separate them into every different kind of category. You separate the men from the women. You separate the old from the young. You separate the lighter skin from the darker skin. You separate the house slaves from the field slaves. And so they never have any kind of unity against the slave master.
Hmm.
And so he just had all these, teaching them Ebonics. Okay, so that's another tactic of the occult slavers, is that they said, if you teach them proper language and speech, then they will pose a threat to you in law and government and social programs that they have set up already. So you teach them a kind of perverted, childish language, so they can't ever be a threat to you in legal ways.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say, you know, speaking of magic tricks and occult, I'd say, you know, watching people respond when they get called just racist or homophobic or anti-Semite, to me, that's like a magic occult trick, too. It just magically shuts people up, doesn't it?
I mean, yeah, it's such a trigger, and it's just a roadblock into understanding and living with the people that are actually around you.
So how do you think the government or the establishment profits from these claims of racism?
Because in trauma-based mind control, you are not allowed to say when someone is doing you harm. And that's a part of the mind control is you can't stop it and you're not allowed to speak up for yourself. So as soon as people start to speak up and say, hey, this isn't right, you know, I feel that you're being unfair to me. I have nothing to do with slavery or oppression or anything just because I was born the way I was born. So when you label them a racist, you shut them down and they're not allowed to speak up against, you know, being harmed or being talked badly about.
Exactly. Exactly. It's like, I can't believe the trick even works to shut down debate anymore. It's just, I've been called a racist so much that it doesn't even faze me anymore. So who cares? Mm-hmm. I wanted to switch subjects. I sent you an article earlier titled Rape Right-Wing Females to Create Multicolored Descendants, says French Doctor. So I think I'm just going to read that for people real quick so we can comment on that. Okay.
Okay.
Let's see. A doctor wrote that this was in a French media outlet, a blog, which I can't speak French, so I won't even try. But a doctor wrote that any woman who votes for Front National, which is the nationalist party, has a reptilian brain and should be raped and impregnated to produce multicolored descendants. He goes on to say, right-wing women do not appear less mammal than other women, even if they have a bigger than average reptilian brain. Mm. These female sympathizers... Front National sympathizers certainly offer us means to beat them, as each right-wing female appreciates the military and the macho, loathes feminist ideas. Let's play her game. Let's take her at her own game. Let's take her and fuck her. Since they give us the recipes for crossbreeding their pale race, use it against her side. Let's sexually overcome these stupid right-wing females for the survival of a smiling humanity, because they are stupid and easily tricked, like game going to the hunter. Things should be easier. Let's create a curly descendant, not German, mind you. Let's curlify this other hating, frightened France. Refusing the advances of family planning, every pregnancy will result in a little half-breed or a mongrel, an artist that tomorrow she will eventually like. He goes on to say, Blacks, Negroes, Gooks, Jews, leftists, gypsies, disabled, Freemasons, and even my gay friends in solidarity. Bring up your hard dicks. Let our conscience sleep under the pillow and jump on the right-wing pussies offered. Unfortunately, sometimes pretty, he says. Hail to a vast altruistic copulation. Provide multicolored descendants to the sinking country of France with one goal, kill right-wing poison in the egg. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
What went through your head when you read that?
Wow. How can you argue with that this is a social engineering program and it's not all just people being racist against each other when it's laid out exactly like that and it's been going on for so long? One of the big things that kind of woke me up to what was going on was statistics I read about birth rates in Europe, how they are all lower than, two children apiece, so they can't even continue their culture now because their birth rates are so low. And that's why the Muslims and the other people are saying we're going to go in and propagate with them. And at this point, I don't even know if it's high enough to turn it around. So that's really scary.
Yeah, I mean, this guy's talking, it sounds just like Kuhnhof-Kalergi plan, and this fits right in line with it. And as we know, rape is happening in Europe by non-Europeans, and it's all covered up. They're not talking about it. You know, people keep saying, but they want to create division. Well, if they did, then they would bring up every single case of rape and abuse and beating, you know, but they cover up all of these big scandals, you know? I mean, if that was me, if I was raped, I'd straight to the abortion clinic I would go, you know? But, I mean, where does this guy live and who's going to take him out? It's just, you know, people say, oh, it's just one guy. No, the entire establishment is pushing this kind of race mixing or European genocide on white women. And they keep saying it's a means of peace. And then they use this clever propaganda to do this. And there's nothing natural about it. It's entirely sinister and it's contrived, just like mass immigration. It's like we were saying earlier. It's one thing when it happens naturally. But, I mean, of course, you know, that's been happening forever. People fall in love. But now they're just flat out pushing it. And guys like this can come out and say, you know, rape right-wing bitches, basically. I mean, it's just outrageous.
And it's so scary, too, that even the women will back this. You know, you see women tweeting things like rape that white bitch. And so they're even dividing women against each other. And we can't even say, you know, rape is bad no matter what. And so now they're saying if it's a white woman, it's fine and she deserves it.
Yeah, I never hear feminists talking about, like, in Sweden, you got tons of feminists. They're all feminists, but they never speak out when girls are raped and murdered up there by non-whites. They just do not do it.
Well, speaking of feminism, there was this whole thing about, you know, they're not welcoming white women into the movement of feminism because they feel that they're part of the oppressive race.
That's funny. So.
That's more division right there, you know, more Willie Lynch. And that's where you get the term lynching.
Well, you know, it was initially it was mostly Jewish women because Jewish women weren't treated very well. So a lot of the early feminists were Jews. Did you know that?
No.
I thought it was funny, though, too. This guy brought up reptilian brain. You know, David Icke's always talking about reptiles.
That's exactly what I thought about, too. And I'm like, holy crap, what if this is all just... Because the end of the book is that, you know, the white race has this reptilian gene. And they're the keepers of this reptilian, you know, race and connection. And so I'm like, is this psychological warfare also, you know, kind of from David Icke saying that, that white people have this reptilian gene?
Yeah. I know, because I wouldn't doubt, as crazy as this propaganda is going and how fast it's going, I wouldn't doubt if they said, oh, actually, whites, you're not indigenous to the planet at all. You come from some other planet.
Exactly.
You invaded, right? So we have to take you out.
Yes, that is very true and so bizarre that you have to do a lot of homework to understand kind of what we're coming from here with David Icke, but it's definitely something to think about.
Yeah, I have to say, when it comes to rape, something like this happened, as you know, World War II to German women. They were raped en masse by all sorts of soldiers, but also by black soldiers and mercenaries. And there was a huge surge of these mulatto babies being born because of it. And understandably, these German women, none of them wanted these babies. They're rape babies, right? Yet there's this documentary that's out, you know, crying about, oh, the racism of German women because they didn't want these brown babies that were born after World War II. And they're crying about these forgotten babies. But never once did they mention that these women were raped or what happened to them. They couldn't have abortions in those days. I mean, just zero sympathy or even acknowledgement of these women being raped in World War II. I don't know if you've come across that.
Well, I mean, women bear the brunt of war, in my opinion, more than anybody, because it's their sons that are dying and it's their bodies being raped and it's their wombs that are being used in, you know, global psychological warfare.
Well, so here we go from National Socialism, where women were actually cared for, I'd say, like goddesses. They valued women and family and childbearing, and they had a lot of programs to support women so they could be with children. And now we come to feminism and the sexual revolution. So what are your thoughts on feminism and the sexual, I'd say, de-evolution?
Okay, well, yeah. I would say the feminist movement is... necessary in the way that, you know, obviously women have been oppressed throughout the ages, couldn't vote, couldn't do, you know, whatever, their property of their husbands. If you follow the Bible, it's still very misogynist, right? Every religion, in my opinion.
Religions are, yes.
Yeah, misogynist. But right now what they're doing is just kind of creating these angry women who aren't not even in touch with their femininity because they won't let their men be masculine.
Oh, yeah.
And it's actually part of the sexual revolution, in my opinion, and the Aeon of Horus, when we're talking about occult things and magic, the Aeon of Horus was supposed to let loose all the sexual inhibitions, let children witness sexual acts from before puberty, have sex everywhere, just kind of, you know, like it is today, all on TV and billboards and ads and magazines, sex, sex, sex. But the counterpart to this was the feminist, the new ISIS concept, that where you have to bring down the public perception of women as just sexual things and not as people. And this kind of gets the consciousness trapped in this polarity where, if they can match the sexual perversion that the guys have been ramping up for years and years and get the women to be like that, too, then you have them trapped in this lower vibrational field where you can manipulate people through sex.
Yeah, and I think you said this in a show before too. I mean, for women, sexuality is, you know, it can be a powerhouse, you know, and it does have magical properties if you can channel that kind of energy correctly. But now they're just putting it out there everywhere, just spewing it out everywhere. There's nothing sacred anymore, and it's like they're losing their power because they're putting out so much, if you know what I mean.
And they're telling you that all your empowerment is in your sexuality, and that's just not true either, because we're all complete beings, you know. Sexuality is just one part of it. And but they're telling you that you are using this and this sluttiness is empowering to you, and it's really not.
Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, for me, it's I don't see it. How is that revolution or liberating walking around topless in front of a bunch of people? I don't I guess I have a different idea of revolution and liberty.
Yeah, definitely.
So what are your thoughts on all this doing away with gender and the balance of male, female?
Oh, gracious. Okay, so androgyny is a big thing in magic and occult and alchemy, and it has been since the beginning. If you go back to ancient Sumer and worshiping of Inanna and those Anunnaki gods. So Inanna was a transgender god goddess. She was both male and female in one, and they would have parades to Inanna where the men dressed like women and the women dressed like men. And what they were doing was kind of honoring both sides and, you know, the coming together of one to make another person. So it wasn't just like androgyny that you chose. It was seen as a gift from Inanna if you were a hermaphrodite, right?
Mm-hmm.
But now in this transhumanist movement, in this New World Order, they are forcing it in a false way and saying that you need to surgically modify your body, or you need to hormonally modify your body if you feel like you're a man in a woman's body or a woman in a man's body. And I just don't agree with like surgery or any, you know, changing your body or anything like that. I think that's satanic. I think that's a satanic transhumanist agenda to attack on your biology, basically.
Yeah, well, and now too, behind the scenes, we've talked about this a lot. There's a chemical altering going on, whether people don't realize it or not. There's chemicals in everything that we use, everything mm-hmm. we eat. There's a feminization process, and we know the guys are getting feminized from all the estrogen mimicking chemicals. So they are being altered whether they know it or not. I mean, people know, you know, when they're trying to switch genders, they take hormones because it, mm-hmm. you know, it blocks the testosterone for one, T blockers, and then they have less hair. They become more feminine. Like, well, the same thing is happening with all these products that are, that are being okayed, and the FDA is saying it's okay, you can use it. I'm watching a chemical neutering actually happening before my eyes, and that's right. That's like a whole occult transformation. People don't know yes. that it's happening. It's hidden.
Yes, and it's turning people you know, gay that wouldn't otherwise be gay.
It's true. I think that has always been a smaller portion of the population. We know that it's from hormones that gay happens. And when we alter with these hormones, that the mother's doing certain things, it's affecting the baby in the womb. I know that there's been certain tribes, you know, they're not around chemicals, but they've eaten high estrogen meats, and their babies have been born intersex and have had strange genitals. So we know that this is a real thing that needs to be looked into. But of course, they're not looking into it. And I think it's because there is more of a control aspect when you're not, well, we know it's more of a war on testosterone because of all these estrogen mimickers out there. So it's like they need to block that testosterone, that guy male force energy that can combat some of these things.
Right, because that's the force that's going to stand up and say no way, and that's the one that's going to go buy a gun and defend your property, and that's the part that's going to, you know, be standing between your family and total domination is a manly man.
Yeah, and then it's funny when people talk about, oh, I'm beyond gender, then I just see women who look like guys and guys that look like women, so they're not even beyond gender, you know what I mean?
Well, it's silly to say you're beyond gender because it's a thing. You know, men are
biological.
Yeah. And so it's just kind of putting everything up in the ether and saying, you know, it's moral relativism, basically. And this is biological relativism, is saying that you don't see gender. And that's just a funny proof that this whole social engineering is working, saying I don't see gender. That's like saying I don't see race. And that's stupid, too. Obviously, if someone's an Asian and they're standing in front of you, they're Asian. You know, this person is a white person. This person is black. And so when you say that, it's just, it's really stupid, but it's also...
not honest.
No, it's not. It's not real. Like, it's not even logical.
Even if people say, "Oh, I'm gender fluid," but you're still bouncing in this binary male female. I think at the end of the day, everything turns into polar opposites. I don't think that we ever get beyond that. What do you think?
Well, that's kind of a magic topic too. Is the alchemy and transforming everything into one and taking the polarity and making it the middle way. But definitely you have to have a opposite or a positive and a negative to, you know, make a battery. You have to have these poles to have the vibration and what all these things that make up life. You need a positive and a negative, right? Even protons and neutrons.
Yeah.
So those aren't fluid. They know what they are and what they're doing.
Well, I wanted to talk about European girls specifically. I listened to your show, The Girly Show, which was very good. And you've done a lot of shows on what you call princess programming. So tell us what this is and what's wrong with calling our daughters princesses.
Oh, so much, so much. Okay, so in my opinion, I think royalty is pretty much the worst idea you could ever have on a human planet. You know, like these people are godlike and they rule over you and it's their bloodline.
And they're not, and I should just, I just want to interject. They're not natural aristocracy. I think that there's a perversion of something that was once based on a natural hierarchy where kings and queens, they worked tirelessly to lead their people like old Viking tribes. You know, they had their chief, but he earned that position. He was the most capable to lead. He was the most noble and virtuous, but that's not what we have today with royal families. So I just wanted to add that in.
No, not at all. And a lot of times they're the worst people you could ever want to meet. And the public just eats them up like, you know, Prince William and Kate. And they're probably assholes, but everyone wants their face on their greeting cards and they go to their wedding and they celebrate their life. And it just drives me crazy. But yeah, so this is another invasion of America, I believe, that this whole royalty programming, because people decided, no, you're not going to lead us and you're not going to tell us what to do because of your family and your bloodline and all this stuff and all the power you have. We're going to go over here and try and make something new. And so now we've kind of, you know, I like America. I like a lot of values of the founding fathers. I appreciate, you know, what they were trying to do in a lot of ways. But now you see with Disney especially has brought this whole princess idea to America. And now every little girl wants to be a fluffy pink princess. Mm-hmm. And when you're talking about princess programming, you really have to be talking about narcissism, because this is the beginning of just totally the ugliest pig women you could ever want to meet. just total.
I'm the princess. Do it for me. Right.
Yes. Because there can only be one princess. There's only one princess per movie. There's only when they do merchandising, if they put princesses on the same package, they're never interacting with each other like girlfriends. They're always staring off into the distance, ignoring each other. And so, yeah, just this whole like stratification, Darwinian stratification of society with the princesses on top and the workers on the bottom. And so if you can get people to buy into this, that they deserve this and they deserve being waited on, they deserve to have things made from slave labor, they deserve to have the best no matter what the cost to anybody else, that is total princess programming. And I think that is another part of feminism. I can't wait to see what happens when these little princesses grow up and figure out that the world is, you know, not what they thought and they're not a princess at all. And also, princesses are used for breeding, right?
Mm-hmm,
like, true. That's pretty much all they're good for, is making political alliances with other countries and keeping the royal bloodline going.
Yeah, they're basically captive pawns, right?
Yes, sex slaves with just dressed up. And that's how you can see all of, you know, pop media, pop stars, movie stars, they're all dressed up and glitzed out, but they're actually, a lot of them are under mind control and being used as sex slaves.
Yeah, just the other day I was seeing some outrageous, I know you look into this area a lot, I kind of haven't as much, but Miley Cyrus videos, and she was recently just topless with a giant dildo on. And then there was another one where she's licking this giant black dildo. Another one where she's like licking a girl's asshole. I mean, like, what is going on with stars like her? I mean, they start so innocent and then they become the most degenerate possible.
Well, that is all part of the plan. And I've been had my eye on Miley Cyrus since the beginning, way back in 2007 or something, when she first came out as Hannah Montana. And I was like, why is this girl's face on every single product that you could ever want to buy for a child? I mean, from toothpaste, trading cards, perfume, bed sets, toys, we went through Target, Walmart, and a couple other stores, and you could not walk down one aisle without seeing Hannah Montana's face on it. And now what you're seeing is Star Wars everywhere since Disney has bought Star Wars. The overbearing marketing of these characters has become obvious to the mainstream. There's a meme going around called Calm the Fuck Down, Disney, because they are pushing Star Wars on everything from coffee to oranges to amber alerts, even say don't go to the dark side and things like that. And so people are like, Disney really does own everything, and they have their marketing in every place. But so back to Hannah Montana, is you got all these girls into Hannah Montana and following her, idolizing her, following her career. And so that's just how they trap you. And then their plan all along was for Miley to break down and start doing all this crazy stuff, because that's where they want feminism to go, is just total bonkers, crazy sex. And so now all the girls who grew up with Hannah Montana are following her down this path of, you know, like you said, there's just the overt sexuality. And it, to me, it's interesting because when you look at it at a psychological point of view, if I was a psychologist and I saw a young girl acting out like this, I would say this girl has definitely been sexually abused.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because that's what they do when they're abused. They are overly sexualized from a young age, and it just comes out and gets worse and worse from there. But of course, the public is eating it up, saying this is liberation, this is freedom, when the person that is bringing this all to them is a mind control slave, a monarch mind control slave.
And we know the business, and I used to work in it, is controlled mostly by Jews. I don't know if this is some like Jewish hatred of the goy girl, you know, so they enjoy kind of ripping them up. It's some kind of Kabbalistic magic or something. But I never see Jewish girls portrayed like this in Hollywood. Can you think of any Jewish singers that have been destroyed like this?
I can't even think of a Jewish singer. They're all comedians or actors.
Yeah, so. It's true. So no, they're not doing that to their own little girls.
Mm-mm.
So in your view, what does it mean to be a girl in the New World Order then?
Oh, goodness. I think we have to deal away with this whole princess paradigm and start to see, you know, womanhood and femininity and motherhood as a sovereign thing. And another thing that stands in the way of the New World Order is the family unit. And what they try to do away with is take the woman's power away in the prime of her life. So you're always going to see a young, just pubescent princess, or you're going to see an old woman typified as an old witch. And you're never going to see a heroine who is a good mother, a smart, a hard worker in her prime full moon phase.
It's true.
And so this is another thing, is they are taking women's power out of fairy tales and media, and just delegating it to these two parts of their life when they're not even fully in power yet.
And what's up with all these princesses usually just having one parent, right? One dad or one mom. Like, what is that?
Well, the killing of the mother is something I talk about a lot, because if now that I've said that, whatever movie you watch, I bet 9 out of 10 movies have a dead mother. And if it's not part of the whole story, it's definitely mentioned or remembered in a picture or something. There's mostly going to be a dead mother. And a lot of times she comes back as an evil ghost or evil witch or something like that. And so in my mind, I would say that, you know, a holy trinity would be a father, mother, child creating a miracle in a baby.
Oh, yeah.
And what they try to do is take the mother out, and what I feel like that represents the Holy Spirit, if you want to take it to a Christian perspective, mm-hmm. right? So you've got your father, your child, and the mother. They don't even call her mother anymore. There was churches based on this, actually, that, you know, the Holy Spirit is like a mother.
Yeah, I remember that.
And so if you remove all of this energy from popular media, you're just taking the sacredness right out of it. You're removing the Holy Spirit from it all.
And it's so, an unconscious thing that people are picking up on too, probably.
Definitely. And some people have mentioned, you know, why doesn't any Disney princess have a mother? And a lot of people will say, well, because Walt Disney's mother died when untimely death. But that's just not true. I think this is more of a spiritual, magical removing of the sacredness of femininity.
Yeah, ultimately, I think this is a war on women because the women have the children. We carry the future of our society. We choose mm-hmm. who we're going to mate with. So yeah, Hollywood's really declaring war on women and it's contorting and degrading them. They're picking up on all this programming. They're really affected by it for some reason. Mm-hmm. And it's causing them to compete with men and to not value family. As you said, they're not having children. So if this isn't stopped and if people don't start bringing up their daughters properly, this can result in total ruin and annihilation of our society, basically.
Right. And there's nothing worse that I hate to hear is someone calling their daughter a princess, because I feel like that's just an insult to her sovereignty, really, and raising her the wrong way.
Oh, I hear some geese in the background.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, you know, these days moms are going to strip clubs with their daughters and they're like going to Miley Cyrus concerts, watching her topless with a dildo together.
Right. And they're not even allowed to be full mature moms, like you just said. They have to be like sister-like or stay teenager-like for their whole entire lives. And it's just sucking the power right out of womanhood to not be mature and full in your full moon phase.
It's true. It's very true. Well, I want to switch gears and have you share some things you learned about Allah and Muhammad. So, so who is Allah? What have you learned about him? Because you just did a show about this recently.
Yeah. Okay. So... it's a hard topic to talk about, you know, because there's, like you said, people get triggered by things, and religion especially, you're going to get backlash about it. But we have to kind of remove ourselves a little bit, step back, you know, focus out, look at the bigger picture. You know, these books that they give us are redacted. They're wrong. They're written by, there's lies in them. You know, every holy book is flawed, in my opinion. But Allah, there's a lot of evidence to suggest that if I was just looking at the symbolism, I would say this was a goddess, because their symbol is the crescent moon and a pentagram. And that goes back to Inanna and Venus worship and also moon worship. And so when you're looking at Muhammad coming to Mecca to start Islam, there was already an established religion there at the Kaaba and everything. So he just kind of took one God, kind of like the Jews did with Yahweh, and said, okay, Yahweh is our main man and we're gonna do this out of all the other gods. We choose Jehovah and Yahweh. And so Allah just, I mean, Muhammad said, I'm gonna build a religion around Allah in the midst of all the other gods and sort of, you know, try and kill anybody who goes against me.
I think I heard you say too that it was alluded to Muhammad being a white guy. Is that true?
There is some, yeah, scriptures saying that when they were differentiating him from other people, they would say he was the one with the light skin, or when he would lift up his armpits were real white. He was tan, but, you know, he had lighter skin, and also that he was a redhead. And then there was this other interesting part I found about how Muhammad could have actually been an epileptic. And so because he would have these seizures and fits, and they would cover him with a sheet and wait for it to be over. And then when he came back to, he would recite the Quran and they would write it down. So if you were looking at this like a doctor, you say, well, this guy is totally having a, you know, epileptic seizure. But when you're talking about people in the olden days, this kind of stuff was regarded as from the spirit world.
Yeah, it's true.
So
now, I've heard all these rumors, but did the Pope create Islam? What do you think?
I don't know. I got that from it's totally could be true, because now the Pope and all the priests are going into the mosque saying Catholicism and Islam are the same. They're trying to put them together into a new religion called Chrislam.
Yes.
Yes. So look up Krizlam, and they're building a temple to Krizlam, I think, in Berlin right now. But yeah, I got this from a Jack T. Chick comic and some other resources that I found. But definitely there was a story that Muhammad's first wife was working for the Pope because the Pope wanted to take the Temple Mount away from the Jews, and he needed another religious army to do this. And so they created Islam to attack Jews. And when they built up their military, they actually turned on the Pope and said, we're not going to work for you anymore. We're our own thing. And so it just branches out from there. But definitely, I think it could have had, you know, Vatican and Jesuit influence in there to create this thing.
Well, one thing's for sure, though, Islam's definitely not attacking Jews. Israel never Israel never gets hurt. They never get attacked, you know? I mean, even the Saudi Arabia Wahhabi bloodline there, there's talks of them being Jews. So
right. It's just, and they still have control of the Temple Mount, right? Yeah. Right there in Jerusalem. So you have Islam right in the middle, in the heart of Jerusalem, and they never attack each other.
Well, it seems now everyone's embracing Islam. There's celebrities. We've got people, mm-hmm. our own like mm-hmm. political advisors. We've got CAA converts. And then all these liberals who are say that they're, you know, for women's rights and gay rights. They're just accepting this religion that is not compatible at all with Western values. So why do you think all these liberals are embracing this for some reason?
Yeah, it's so true. And so I predicted this, like I went on Jay Dyer's show and I was like, you're going to see one of these pop stars who has been into this mind control satanic activity, overt sexuality, you're going to see them convert to Islam and say, Allah is the true God and I'm sorry for being so overtly sexual. And then as soon as I said that, Farrakhan comes out and says, tells Jay-Z to cover up Beyonce because it's not right. Now, Jay-Z has been part of the 5% Nation, which is an Islamic group for Black people for a long time. And then another story that came out was Janet Jackson married a prince and converted to Islam, and she incorporates that into her concerts. She's toned down her sexuality and dancing, and she's just, you know, embracing Islam. And so it's really frightening to me to see how easy it is for people to follow something when they see that a celebrity has done it before.
I think they've been in liberal cuckoo land so much that now they want some like strong masculine force, you know. Well, then go back to your ancient religions. That's when we had it the best, you know.
Well, here's the weird thing about the liberal people embracing Islam is like they're not liberal whatsoever. I mean, the gay rights in Islam is atrocious. Women's rights is atrocious. You know, they have slavery. They have poverty. They have every kind of problem that a liberal person would want to say they're standing up and fighting against, but they just kind of have carte blanche because, you know, Obama's a Muslim, top people in the CIA, the NSA, top advisors to Hillary Clinton. I mean, pretty much a good percentage of our government now is Muslim people.
I can't tell what Obama is. He seems like he just kind of swings everywhere because he, you know, there's a giant menorah in front of the White House right now. There's an annual Hanukkah party that goes on at the White House every year. They're giving out menorahs to everyone. So, like, what is it? How do you know that he's Muslim?
He wears a ring, a golden ring that has the one of the pillars of Islam, that Allah is the only God. And he's worn this pretty much his whole life. And it actually was before he got married, and he used it as wedding ring, and he barely ever takes it off. But if you look up close, it's definitely an Islamic statement on there. It says Allah is the only God. Not only that, he, you know, grew up in Indonesia, which is Muslim, and he went to a Muslim school. Where else? Kenya.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. He had a communist father, too.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, yeah, he's just kind of a mishmash of all different things. And if you listen to Freeman, it kind of goes off planet. But, yeah, he's just kind of this composite, really, of smoke and mirrors. And he kind of appears to be whatever you want him to be. You know, if you want him to be white, he's half white and he speaks very succinctly like a white person. Then when he goes to address people that are mostly black, he'll bring out his little black attitude and start talking differently. So he's just really a chameleon when it comes to politics. He's really good at it.
Well, speaking of Muslims, I saw there was a black Muslim in New York, a New York judge that just took an oath and she was allowed to swear on the Quran. Yeah, I think that's a first.
Well, Freemasonry also has a lot of Muslim roots. They have the Quran there.
I thought it was more Jewish roots.
It's all of them. It incorporates a lot because when you get into the Shriners, you know, they're all about the ISIS and the Smitar. Look at all the Shriners' symbology. It's all Muslim.
So speaking of ISIS, I know America's got a hand in it. Israel has a hand in it. What are your thoughts? What have you learned so far?
Oh, ISIS is definitely a you know, not a homegrown Islamic terrorist thing. It's you know, Western created tool to get people to, you know, start World War III. And it's so blatantly obvious to me that it cracks me up. I mean, they're giving you YouTube videos of beheadings that are so fake and they're, you know, on a green screen. They're nowhere near the Middle East. You can see their U.S. Army tattoos. You can see their Toyota trucks. You can see them posting on Instagram, rolling in piles of United States currency. you know, all these things.
You can see their selfie sticks, courtesy of U.S.
Yeah. And so this is totally a Western created thing. And this all goes back kind of to a plan that Albert Pike had, too, about fomenting World War III using Christians, Jews and Islams to fight each other. And then when they're done fighting, that they'll all agree that the divine light of Lucifer is what we should be worshiping.
Well, I think Lucifer's got a bad rap. He might even have pagan origins. It might even be some of our ancestors back there. So yeah. It seems like what is white is black and what's black is white nowadays, doesn't it?
There's always so much more to learn. And, you know, Lucifer is Inanna, like we were talking about before. And Lucifer is an androgynous symbolized by Venus and the five-pointed star. So was Inanna. If you go look at the cuneiform, the very first writings of ever in history, they're talking about her bringing the what they call the May, which were the rules of civilization. So these are the crown, the scepter, the royalty, the pageants, the battles, military, all of these things that are for empire building were brought to Earth by Inanna.
I've just been stepping more out of the Christian doctrine. So, you know, I know you mentioned Satan earlier. You and I both come from a Christian background, but I don't tend to look at it that way anymore. I'm trying to go back to things that are much older, pre-Christian times. Have you been looking into those roots?
As far as like European?
As our spiritualities before Christ came on the scene or before the Abrahamic gods even.
Yeah. Yeah, like I was saying, when you go back to Sumer and Babylon, it gets really weird because what they're saying is that there was this family. I mean, this isn't just kooky conspiracy. This is in stone that these gods came from the sky and taught people how to live. And I think it's just a retelling of that in a lot of different ways.
Like Zachariah Sitchin's work?
Yeah, but even just archaeological finds in cuneiform writings and poems and, you know, the Epic of Gilgamesh, the Enuma Elish, those old, you know, where you get the first flood stories, right? Mm-hmm. Is the Epic of Gilgamesh goes to visit Noah and stuff like this. So they're always taking these ancient stories and repackaging them and reselling them and adding on different messiahs just for more mind control.
Yeah, it's true. So what is the missing link? It might be something from the stars, right?
It could be. I mean, if you go and read the things that they wrote in stone, they were always saying that when the gods were here, it was much better. And they're always looking back to the past to when these giants really ruled on the earth as god kings in Egypt and in Sumer, Babylon, all these places. So I would really recommend if you want to know the beginning of religion, go pick up your book. And this is really weird because this is all the artifacts they're destroying now. This is what ISIS is going into Syria, blowing up Nimrud, blowing up artifacts in Uruk and erasing all of our prehistory.
Well, it's interesting, too, because when you go through archaeological finds across the planet, ancient finds, they're always talking about basically these white gods. Hmm. You know, so it might be the same beings, or maybe the same people that were spreading this knowledge across the planet. I don't know. It's very interesting.
Could be in all the secret societies too. They venerate Atlantis, where they say, you know, the white people came from.
So I'm going to ask, what was your thoughts when you were learning about this invasion that's happening into Europe? Did you see some of the footage? What went through your head when you saw some of that?
Yeah, it's very scary. And oh, here's one thing I wanted to mention is, okay, speaking about racism and white people, okay, there was a 30-year study done about who is the most racist people in the world. And what they found was that United States is the least racist country in the whole planet. The runners-up were England and Australia and most of the white European countries.
Of course. Yeah, we are we're the least racist for sure.
Yes,
if you travel, you'll know that that's true.
And what they found out was the most racist country was Jordan, which is an Islamic country, and the second most was India. So there you have all these ideas of like enlightenment and
India's all about the caste system. Yeah.
Exactly.
The lighter you are, the closer you are to God. You're the Brahmin caste. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. They're hardcore mm-hmm. about that.
Definitely. So that's really interesting to me that, you know, white Americans are labeled as fat, redneck, racist, gun-toting bigots. But if you look at the real numbers and facts, they are the most tolerant people on the planet.
That's right. Absolutely true. It's funny, Henrik and I were just talking the other day how these quote-unquote racist rednecks nowadays, you know, people act like there's so many of them. If you watch TV, you think America's full of them. I'm like, I don't see them at all, you know.
Mm-mm.
But now they're listening to hip-hop in their cars.
Right.
They're not even listening to country music or white music anymore.
Well, isn't that funny? Like, they will be flying their Confederate flag and bumping rap music.
Ugh, it's disgusting.
Because the Confederate flag isn't evil in itself either.
Of
is
course
it? It's
not.
It's a symbol of states' rights, but they want to adopt it and say that's all racism. So we eradicate this opposition to Washington, D.C.
I know, everything we're taught is wrong.
Yeah.
Well, Jamie, tell us about your show and what you have going on. You can tell us about Freeman TV and the website.
Okay. I'm almost done with the third book in my series. It's actually part 2.5 called Hollywood Mind Control. Right now I have Operation Culture Creation part 1 and 2 out. And then Hollywood Mind Control will be out in January. And that's all about what kind of we were talking about, the beginning of time and Sumer and the ancient gods and how they have captured our imagination with plays and pageants and high-profile rituals to control humanity with the priestcraft and take us down exactly where they want us to go. And you can get those on freemantv.com. And we do a show every week. I'm not on every week, but Freeman is. And I'm on there sometimes, maybe once a month when I have a good one to give you. So you can catch me there.
Awesome. Oh, I just have to share. I just heard that there was an update on this French doctor. Apparently he's in police custody, but we were joking around here that maybe he's in custody for protection so that nobody takes him out.
Oh gosh.
But they're asking him some questions and he was saying, oh, I was just being ironic.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Well, thanks so much. It's been a pleasure and we'll have to do it again when your new book's out.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Some people are afraid of the word occult and think it means of the devil, but occult simply means that which is hidden from view. Occultation is an astronomy term that means the temporary disappearance of one celestial body as it moves out of sight behind another body. This is the act of occulting, or the state of being occulted. Considering the various anti-white policies and active plotting, which is conspiracy, against European people, it's clear there's an organized, hidden network of those warring against us. And this group understands psychology, subliminal programming, and how to affect the unconscious mind. They are master manipulators to the point where they almost seem to work magic. That's why we have to be wise to understand psychological tactics, to learn about mind control and programming, and we need to study symbolism in order to read their messages. Psychological warfare is occult-like. It is hidden from the unsuspecting. When applied to the unaware, it has the ability to change a person, like an alchemical transformation from one thing to another, all the while they're unaware it's happening. It's happening right now to our children, women, and men who are not armed to see through these tactics. So learning to analyze propaganda and occult warfare is only strengthening us more. Symbolism, mythology, and psychology, all of these things speak to our unconscious, and when not understood in the forefront of our mind, they can be used against us as manipulation tools. I'm not saying be paranoid, I'm saying be wise, because those working against us sure are wise and cunning. Well, if you haven't already, please check out my organic and natural fiber clothing line, Lana's Llama, at lanaslama.com. And if you want to help support us, which we greatly appreciate, consider signing up for a Red Ice membership at redicemembers.com to access more than 1,000 shows. Also, we're going to start making more exclusive members content. Happy Yule, best wishes to you all.
Salagadoola, metricaboola, bibbidi-bobbidi. Put them together and what have you got? Bibbidi-bobbidi. Salagadoola, metricaboola, bibbidi-bobbidi. It'll do magic, believe it or not. Bibbidi-bobbidi-boo. Now salagadoola means a metricaboola-roo. But the thing in the pot that does the job is bibbidi-bobbidi-boo. Just a wave of my stick and finish the trick. Bibbidi bobbidi boo. Gracious, what did I do? Oh, just leave it to me. What a gown this will be. Bibbidi bobbidi, bibbidi bobbidi, bibbidi bobbidi.
Why? It's like a dream, a wonderful dream come true.
Yes, my child. Goodness me, it's getting...